Okay, good morning, everybody. Nice to see everyone again. Due to the popular demand of that one person to raise their hand in Dushan Shabbos residencies, even though I know that you've probably been exposed to it or heard about it, I don't know from whom or what exactly, I still wanted to do it because it's significant in that it touches upon, if you go in depth into this topic, it touches upon Yesodos and Pikuach Nefesh, which is something that's going to be very, very broadly significant and applicable. And, I sometimes look at blogs, let's say the Medical Ethics Society blog or Medical Students blog. I forgot exactly the name of this blog. But on this blog, they have like this give and take from various either medical students, house staff, it seems, and every now and then you get like an attending doctor in there. And one of the recurrent topics that they just love to discuss is the Shomer Shabbos residency issue. And I'm always amazed at how I think the majority of comments are non-halachic, meaning the majority of comments are, you know, somebody getting up on a soapbox, you know, almost implying that if you care about Shabbos from a halach perspective, you know, you're not a good healer. They love that expression, healer. Healer seems to connote a caring person as opposed to a doctor who's like not the caring person. And they're more concerned with Shabbos. So obviously it's all ridiculous. You know, the Phoenix Night, there's something lacking out there. The people that are calling themselves Orthodox, you know, Shomer Halacha, but you know, we all care about people, and we all care about Pikuach Nefesh, and it's Pshita. But that doesn't mean that it's this blanket superseding of Halacha once you have the label Pikuach Nefesh. We already saw that last week. That, and this we're going to see throughout when we follow, as we get more and more into the actual experience of being a physician on Shabbos, what it means when you go past that student, that difficult student stage. We're going to see just how complicated the inyan of Pikuach Nefesh really is. Now, everybody knows Pikuach Nefesh, B'chai Behem, Zdoche, Kol HaTorah Kula, except for the Avodah Zarah, Shiuch HaZdamim, and Gilui Raos. But there's actually many complex and significant halachas that relate, limiting to some degree Pikuach Nefesh, and in other cases, expanding it beyond what you would think you have license to work with. So we saw already last week that in terms of, let's say, Rav Moshe's attitude towards students and Rav Shlomo Zalman, that, you know, already they're drawing a line. You need a chola lefaneinu. You need to have either a chola or a sakana, some real mamashus of a need for pikuach nefesh. You can't just have open season and say everything's pikuach nefesh, or there will be ein ladavar sof. And that type of slippery slope argument is really used halachically by the Nod of Yehuda, by the Chasam Sofer, in the autopsy tshuvos. And then it's going to be used, you'll see, to some degree over here in the issue of Shomer Shabbos residencies, but it won't be a major point. But there's just one limitation where when Chazal defined as Chachameinu Ad L'Doroseinu, even the Chachamim of our generation, the Poskim, are going to be very concerned with this idea of Bittul Shabbos. It's not just Chilul Shabbos, it's Bittul Shabbos, and we'll see what that means. The other place that the discussion of Pikuach Nefesh becomes complicated is on the front page of this handout today, very famous Igros Moshe. Everybody who is a halachically concerned physician or physician-to-be should read this entire tshuva. This is one of the most famous tshuvas of Rav Moshe, Hanhagas Rofe B'Shabbos. It definitely was stimulated by Rav Tendler, who I happened to run into last week. It's really in response to Rav Menachem Zemba Shaila, but Rav Tendler always was prodding and pushing all the inyan, and he and his sons, that related to medicine. And he had an interesting comment to make on something that we're going to do today, which I will share with you. But in this tshuva, so Rav Moshe, one of the things he mentions is another very interesting limitation to this sugya of Pikuach Nefesh. As everybody knows, or many people know, there's a major discussion, is Pikuach nefesh docha Shabbos hutra duchuya. Right? Major machlokas we showing him. It's got a lot of interesting discussion, interesting Torah involved in it. So Rav Moshe just asked a simple question: what's the nafkamina? Who cares? Who cares if it's duchuya or hutra? That's the implied shaila behind what he says in his first column over here. Because he says, look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, pretty much, there is a little controversy about what the Rambam meant. Pashut pshat in the Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah's pshat in the Rambam, is it's dechuya. He says it outright. He uses that expression. He says, dechuya hi Shabbos eitzel sakonis lefashos. And then the Rambam is famous for his shita that we don't need to have, if you have an opportunity to get, let's say, Amir al-Nachri to be Mechal Shabbos, or do it yourself. So the Rambam's famous is for saying, you don't need to go to Amir al-Nachri, you can do it yourself. And yet it's dechuya. So Rav Moshe says, you know, what's the nafkamina then? Normally the nafkamina between hutra and dechuya, as I'm sure everybody knows, is if efshar al-yidei, you know, any inyanach, if you could do it in any other way, it's not docha, it's push comes to shove. The isser is still there. It's only that this matir is docha that isser, temporarily, but the isser is still in place, fundamentally. And normally the nafkamina between hutra, where we say the isser is pakal or gamre, there's no more isser there at all when it's hutra. So the normal nafkamina is exactly what the Rambam says is not true, which is if you have a way out without being docha the isser, do it that way. So do amir, you would have thought the Rambam would say, do it al yidei nochri, but he doesn't say that. And then on the flip side, the Ramah, who's also debated what exactly his shita was, but he says explicitly, a lot of people tout him as the chuyah, I don't know why, in a tshuva he's beferish that it's hutra. And yet, he's the one who says, you should dafka try to do it al yidei nochri, al yidei shinoi. So it's almost like a flip of the normal nafkamina between hutra and dechuya. So Rav Moshe says, so what really is the nafkamina? Why is it such a big deal? So then he mentions something that's very, very important. The one nafkamina he comes up with is the attitude of a doctor before he gets into the sakana. That's the nafkamina. That a doctor has to be attempting all the time, since it's dechuya, let's say, he'll hold it's dechuya like the Rambam, a doctor must make it his business to avoid using Pikuach Nevesh to be Docha Yisurim altogether. He gets very detailed. He says, don't list your phone number in the phone book, which is probably a great idea anyway to some degree. He says, don't let anyone know where you live, right? You know, it's a little tricky, that one. I have to say that Bismaneinu, that's not that I want to just personal editorializing. I don't know if that's necessarily true. My personal experience, let's say on Shabbos, if you live in a nice firm neighborhood, you're doing people a big favor if they know where you live on Shabbos, if you're inclined to help them, because you're going to save a lot of unnecessary chil Shabbos. So, you know, a lot of doctors, it depends on your personal attitude. You have to feel it out. Don't want to be bothered. They're working hard all week. This is a very understandable approach. And, you know, they do everything they can. I don't know if for Rav Moshe's noble reasons, but they just don't want to be bothered, right? I always found, for me personally, I wouldn't say I enjoyed it, you know, but I felt I needed to do it. I felt it was an achrayus to some degree, both to minimize the chilul Shabbos that went around the neighborhood, and sooner or later the rabbanim get you anyway. Truth of the matter is, once a rav knows you're a doctor and that you're going to be helpful, they'll take full advantage of you. So, aside from that, if I think what Rav Moshe is talking about is if it's going to be you, or that they'll use total Amir al-Nachri, or be able to get around any Chilul Shabbos another way, so don't be available. But I think you have to, like, sort of put the perspective on your personal situation. But the Yisod is there. The Yisod is that Dechuya means avoid Chilul Shabbos whatever you can. Now, this is going to be very important for deciding whether you do Shomer Shabbos residency or not, for obvious reasons. You'll see, you know, just the simple concept that if you're supposed to avoid working on Shabbos, even beheter, meaning even the makom pikuach nefesh, or all the different heterim that we're going to learn about, etc., then right up front you would think that Rav Moshe would be very much in favor of Shomer Shabbos residencies, of course, and avoiding it if you can. Then he raises a second nekuda, which is really, really important also, and that is, what about, so pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos because of a chai behem, which applies to whom? Yisrael. It does not apply to a non-Bnei Bris. Right? It doesn't apply to non-Yisrael. So, then what? So Rav Moshe says, is another reason, right? Since we don't have a heter, and we'll talk about this in a little greater depth in a moment, how we navigate this in our times, right? But he says, you know, Pashut Chat, there is no heter to be Machal Shabbos for non-Bnei-Bris. Therefore, it's another thing you should try to avoid. So, based on those two things, he really summarizes the first two columns over here. His upshot, his emphasis, is that you should do whatever you can to avoid being on call on Shabbos, that you're going to be Machal Shabbos for a Jew or a non-Bnei-Bris. Everything you can. Even to the point of what we'll talk about next week, which is going to be a real, I think, practical sugya that everybody should know about. I've been myself involved in using it many, many times, which is having a non-firm Jew take your spot on Shabbos. Very, very important to understand it. Major machlokas between Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman. And the Torah behind it is really interesting. It's like it's good lamdas. It's like enjoyable Torah to discuss. And the Lamaisa is also very important. Very, very important how to navigate that, because that will certainly come up and be very important that you have a comfortable sense of which way to go on that shita. So that'll be next week. But he mentions that his shita, which, no secret, is definitely switch. Right? Rav Moshe said, if you could get off on Shabbos, do anything you can, even if it means putting a non-from Jew on in your place. We'll have to understand his rationale, but we'll do that next week. What about if you can't avoid it? So this is very important. It's very important when we talk about Rav Shachter. We're going to talk about Rav Shachter in a few moments. But before we get to him, to me it was very important that the Rav Moshe, if you look on this first page, the very bottom paragraph on the left, about Kishini's Damein Shehu Muchrach Liyo Shabbos B'Beis HaCholim. Rav Moshe definitely recognizes that sooner or later, whether it's your residency or your fellowship or you're out there as a attending an MD, sooner or later, it happens that a person has to work on Shabbos, has to be on call on Shabbos, has to be mechal o Shabbos b'makom some tzorach. So he says, okay, so if it's a Jew, shita, right? No problem. What if it's a non-Jew? So Rav Moshe gets into that sugya. Now this is a very, it's for the record, the background of what we're going to talk about in terms of Shomer Shabbos residency. This is critical. I don't know how familiar you are with the sugya of dealing with non-Bnei Bris on Shabbos, but I'll just summarize it. I'll get to the bottom line. Everyone should be familiar with the Gemara in the Avodah Zarah and Daf Chavav, which discusses this issue. And how is it, what do we do about doing refuah or hatzalah, which involves Chilul Shabbos for a non-Bnei Bris? So the upshot of that sugya is, anybody know? What's the upshot of the Gemara in Avodah Zarah? What's the implication of the Gemara of Avodah Zarah? Who's seen that Gemara? Just to feel everybody out. Okay, good. So what's the bottom line?
Eva.
Eva does something. Right. So let's even spring ahead, because it's not really our topic. But, so the Gemara's implication, if you push up Shana in the Gemara, the thing implication is that it could have been that Eva would be Docha Shabbos, right? I don't want to go through the whole Shaka Batari, it takes too long. But the upshot at the bottom of the sugya, if you read it carefully, right, as Tosfos on that daf, Dibra Maspel Saba is very sensitive to, is that the upshot of the Gemara is that Eva seems to be Havmin of the Gemara, that Eva will be Docha Shabbos. So Tosis is can't be. Just can't be. Can't be, certainly on a level of Daraisa, be Docha Yisur, Eva. So absolutely not. So, what do we do? Who here has ever been Mechal Shabbos for a Jew? Guch Nefesh. So no one you have. Okay. Hatzalah, something like that? Just Stam. Neighborhood. You're a doctor. You don't care about you. No. So yeah, I have been Mechal Shabbos for. I did a Shabbos. Let me just disclosure. I did Shabbos residency, so it meant I never really had to be Mechal Shabbos. But when we talk about the pragmatic, if you're gonna do a Shabbos residency and you want it to continue for other people, go out of your way. Or if you have an arrangement, even if it's not an official Shomer Shabbos residency, but you have some kind of arrangement, you are, in my opinion, absolutely have a tremendous achrayus to make Jews look good, like you always should. You should always be walking around being a Kiddush Hashem, right? But particularly in those situations, very, very important. Aside from the fact that there's certain moral, ethical drives that should drive you anyway. So I remember I was a Shabbos residency, I never had by contract, never had to be Mechal Shabbos, but, circumstances occur. For example, I was doing a a house doc rotation, which is your second year as a resident in pediatrics. So I was the house doctor for this hospital. Now, it's never a very comfortable thing. You know, as much as you think you know everything after you finish medical school, which is nice, everybody should feel that way, then you realize when you're an intern, you don't really know anything. And by the end of your internship, you really feel a little confidence, right? But not enough, at least I didn't. I'll talk for myself. I was not ready to be thrust as the doctor for a hospital. But what can you do? That's the nature of some of the rotations. So there I was, and the truth is 98% of the time, nothing happens. So I think I went through a couple of masechtas during that rotation. You know, it was 3 months, just sitting around doing nothing most of the day. It was a quiet little community hospital. And then there was a Friday in the winter, and I was in the emergency room. I was called down for something with otitis, something really nothing. And I go there, and otitis, amoxicillin, whatever, when amoxicillin was not resistant. And I'm saying, oh God, no, Shabbos is like one of those 420 Shabboses, and I had to go. I lived in Kew Garden Hills, and I was somewhere next to West Hempstead. It's important. So, and I'm saying, okay, Shabbos. The poor guy that took over from me. Normally, that went from the rotation on a Friday. I should have been there until like 6. But because I was Shabbos, by agreement, they came early during the winter. You know, I made up for it by staying later when I could, like in the summer. The guy could come in at 8. This time he had to come in at 4. So the guy comes in. But as I'm walking out of the room, walking out of the ER, I see this mother bringing in this kid. She's hysterical. And I notice that all the people in the emergency room are just, instead of like converging on her to help her, they're all diverging away from her. It's like, what's going on? And the kid was in anaphylaxis, which bad allergic reaction. And they just weren't used to kids and taking care of them under these conditions. And the poor guy that came in for me, he looks at me like a lost puppy. What on earth is he going to do? And of course I stayed, right? You know, pshita. Now, when we talk about return from Hatzalah and all the issues related to return from Hatzalah, we're going to learn that it was pshita that under those conditions, or it's not pshita, Rav Shechter actually disagrees with this, but we'll learn the sugya one day in Yetzach Hashem. The fi aniyas daiti and the fi many poskim, more importantly, the psak in that condition was I stay and then I could take a taxi and get all the way home, no problem. But I didn't really realize that then. I only knew from Rav Shechter, really, to a large degree about that. He was pretty machmir about that scenario. We'll talk about it. And I figured, okay, so now I'm stuck. What am I going to do? Thank God my brother lives in West Hempstead. So I ended up there for Shabbos. It was a very nice Shabbos at the end of the day. But it was pure Chilul Shabbos. I put in an IV, which is a Chilul Shabbos Daraisa, Chavolah Daraisa, which we'll learn about, and many other things. And the patient was not Jewish. How did I have a right to do that? That's really what we were talking about before the whole tangent, right? How can I do Mechallel Shabbos for a non-Bnei person? So there are two basic approaches to it. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but I'll review them if you are. One is the Maharik, famous Maharik, and it's Rav Avadi Yosef and Tzitz Eliezer. They all present this idea that if I do a malacha, right, out of fear of repercussions or for money, right? That's the setting, I think, for the Maharik, or pachad. And some entertain even Mishum Kibud Av, right? Someone asked Rav Moshe Shiloh like that. Can I be Mechallel Shabbos for my father, who's not Shomer Shabbos, but it's Kibud Av in this very stortish logic, right? Kibud Av, that he wants me to be Mechallel Shabbos, I should be Mechallel Shabbos for him. Maybe it's okay because it's Mishum Kibud Av, right? And it's a Malacha Shein Etzuch L'Gufa, right? If I'm not doing it for the purpose of my wanting this Malacha to really happen, so the suggestion is that it's a malacha shenei tzurich legufa, which makes it only asam midirabbanan, and everything's great. So once I'm down to derabbanan, the Eva, although it is not able to override the daraisas for sure, l'chuli alma, many shitas hold that it can be overriding derabbanans, right? Many other shitas say not even any derabbanan, only very minor derabbanans. But let's say we go with the one that says all derabbanans. So if I get it down to malacha shenei tzurich legufa, I'm good. That's the approach of the Maharik and the Tzitz Eliezer and the Rav Avadya. So Rav Moshe actually in that tshuva thinks it's ridiculous, right? Anyone know why? What's the flaw of this? Who knows Hilchos Shabbos? What's a malacha shein etzuch l'guf? It's a malacha shein etzuch l'guf. There's a machlokes Rashi Tosfos, Daf Sagdal, and Shabbos. It's all about, according to Tosfos,
Are you doing it for the purpose that it was done in the Mishkan? That's his definition of Achashem Esuchu Gufa. And Rashi is, is it a tikkun? Is it something, or is it just something that it birtzoni lo haya ba'alai? I would have preferred that I never had to do this, but if I have to do it, so I'm doing it just to take away something, to move away the thing, not for a proactive reason, not for a tikkun. Whichever way you do it, Rav Moshe points out, the focus is on the malacha itself. Right? So in other words, let's say somebody is making me out of pachad, threat to my life, or whatever reason, do bishul. So can I say that I don't have full malacha tzricha l'gufa in the maisa bishul itself? So of course Rav Moshe says, you are trying to do the bishul, right? The maisa bishul for achila, that you're actually trying to do. It's only if it's, you know, a malacha tzricha l'gufa has to be that I don't want to be doing the bishul for the purpose of somebody eating it. But here I am. You know, the example that he was confronted with, the guy that's your father, he was confronted with that crazy Shiloh. Your father wants you to cook something for him to eat. So you're going to say the only reason you're cooking this food is really Mishum Kivurav? No, it's to make something that your father could eat. Right? So Rav Moshe rejects this whole thing. Others reject it also. The Minchas Yitzchak rejects this approach because he says, look, the Chasim Sofer actually understood that these are malachas shtenei tzricha l'gufa. Nevertheless, Chasam Sofer said, in order to treat a non-bnei bris, it has to be a sakana for you not to. So we see clearly, the Minchas Yitzchak points out, that Chasam Sofer held, despite the fact that it was a malachas shtenei tzricha l'gufa, it still would be asur for you to do. And that might be because the Rambam held malachas shtenei tzricha l'gufa is the raisa, and is a very chumra nature. And this is going to be very important, that's why it's worth the little tangent. The fact that a malacha shtenei tzricha l'gufa is a very high, strict level, the Rabbanan is going to come back in many settings. When we talk about stitching, and many different things, you'll see, keep that little pearl in your mind, we're going to be very machmir, even if we get something down to malacha shtenei tzricha l'gufa. So at the end of the day, that's not going to be the major reason you will find all nice Orthodox Jews will be mechallel Shabbos bizmaneinu, halacha l'maaseh, no matter what Noah Feldman writes. There is, and this is what you say to anyone who ever asks you. Everyone knows what I meant by the Noah Feldman, right? So when that came out, Noah Feldman was a very brilliant lawyer, and he had a problem, whatever, I don't want to go into the sordid details, but he put in the New York Times Magazine this halacha, right? So he puts out there to an item that everybody reads, everyone you're going to work with reads the New York Times. And I got inundated after he did that at work, you know, in the hospital. Everyone wanted to have an explanation for this. So the first thing I told him is that he's wrong, and this is what you should always say, because it's true, is that it's absolutely, absolutely chayev to be Mechal Shabbos for non-degris. There's really no, like 1,000 poskim, everybody says it. But they don't use really the Maharik and that other approach. What they say is what Rav Moshe over here writes on page 2. You can see it, he gets into it in detail. And all the major poskim say it's mishum sakana for the doctor or Klal Yisrael. Right? That's the issue. That if we're not mechal Shabbos for non bnei bris, it's a sakana. Now, in the times of in the 1800s in Europe, so what they mostly write about is for that doctor, it's going to be killed if he doesn't go out. Right? But Moshe says pele on the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim seems to suggest to be machmir in this area. And Rav Moshe says, how could he be that way? Didn't he grow up in the same neighborhoods that I did? Doesn't he know what it's like out there? And Lamais, it's absolutely ludicrous to put yourself in a sakana like that. And therefore, you absolutely can be Mechal Shabbos because of your pikuach nefesh, not because of the pikuach nefesh of the non-bnei bris. So, and even more so, they all write, all the contemporary poskim bizmaneinu, with rapid communication, there'll be a pogrom out in Russia if somebody, in Einstein is not doing this, right? I used to think, they're exaggerating a little. Then I had the following, I like to publicize this event. I had a patient who was a 15-year-old boy, and very, very, from family, very, very much, committed to halacha, and he had about a week to live. He was going to die. And he needed a transplant. I was a fellow. I was training at that time. And I remember the attending had given up. His attending was like the chairman, well, I shouldn't say. His attending was a very chashuv doctor who was not used to losing. But But so he was a great doctor, you know, like really great doctor. But he was so not used to losing. When he started to lose, he kind of backed off, which is a big mistake. Don't do that. That's when they need you very much. Even if you can't really save them, they still need you, right? A topic for discussion another time. But he's backing off. The kid's dying. I can't believe it. And I'm like the fellow who's, you know, still extremely idealistic and never believing anyone's going to die. And I remember talking to the kid, and he was in such depression all the time. I'm never gonna go. I remember what he was saying to me. I'm never gonna finish high school. I'm never gonna go to Israel. I'm never gonna learn. I'm never gonna get married. I'm never gonna have kids. And I'm like, oh my God, I gotta do something for this guy. I said, why don't you get a transplant? I got a chance. Transplant. What are you doing? So he said, no, you heard it's not possible. Like, no transplant. So very, very ignorant. Because they were aware of the whole brainless controversy, and they were aware of the fact that many men posting are considering donation of a heart to be tzivcha, another topic someday. But what they didn't realize is that all the posting, with a few exceptions, say that even if you hold a tzivcha, you can still receive. Don't ask me questions about this now. I've talked about it many times and gotten into some heated debates. It's a very emotionally charged issue, but the halacha is the halacha. The halacha is, even if you hold it tzivcha, it is still mutter to receive, even though, I'll tell you right now, Rav Tamna won't agree with that, and others, but the majority of poskim, Rav Yachav, Rav Shlomo Zalman, and on and on and on, Rav Bozner, every major posek in the world, and also the YU, Rosh Yeshiva, the other ones, all agree that it's mutter to receive. So, they wouldn't believe it. So, I actually got them in touch with Rav David Feinstein. Rav David Feinstein tells them, take it. So finally they decide, we're going to take it. And I'm saying, wow, this is fantastic. I can't believe I felt so good about myself. I'm getting them to take it. I run to the transplant office. The doctor's there, and they were great people. Some of them work in this institution now. At the time it was in Colombia. And they, who normally their reaction, when they hear that there's a transplant to do, their normal reaction is they throw you out of the way, meaning whoever was taking care of the patient, goodbye, we don't need you anymore. And they're very heroic. They're very, very driven. They're fantastic people. And they love, they're always saving the life, you know, at the very end in these tenuous situations. And it's an amazing field for them. And suddenly, she said, oh, I said, you hear me? They're willing to take the heart. And I'm expecting to jump up and throw me out the window and get going. But they were very lukewarm about the whole thing. Okay, yeah, we'll be up there. So I closed the door, and I say to, I called her by her first name, because I was very friendly with her, and I say, what's going on? So she told me, and this is when I really understood that these gedolim know exactly what they're talking about. She says, look, we heard that Orthodox Jews don't donate. They don't donate. I'm not such a rush. There are other people that are on the list too. We'll get there. So I quickly, you know, took her to the HODS website, and I said, whoa. And even though, you know, whatever, I said, I promoted the idea that, no, absolutely, Orthodox Jews do, and it's very much out there. And ultimately, he got the heart, and he's had his second kid. We ended up going to yeshiva. I can't, you know, Baruch Hashem, very happy ending to the story. But that's when I learned, this is not a joke, the idea that a little bit of subtle thing like backing off, taking care of a non-B'nai Bris on Shabbos could result in a Salkana had mamashos to it. There's no question about it. And that is the head. Okay. So all this is background. Now we can start this learning. So turn to page 3, which begins. What does any of this that we've talking about now have to do really with Shomer Shabbos residents? So, the first issue is getting rid of, in my time, when I was like in the market for Shomer Shabbos residencies or not, the big hawk was, oh, don't worry about it, Rav Tundler says you don't need to do a Shomer Shabbos residency. I don't know if they still say it that way, but that was always the way it was said. Certainly on the blogs, they say it that way. But it's nonsense, right? And Rav Tundler got a little irritated when I was trying to just get his reaction. So I said to him, hey, I heard that you say you can be Mechal Shabbos for medical education. Just, you know, it's hard to get a rise out of Rav Tamna, but he got up. And the mistake I made was he was at a shmorg. He was at a shmorgasbord and he was eating.
But other than that, it was a lot of fun. It was a very feisty interaction. So, what does he really say? So what he really says is over here on this page. He says that is a physician obligated? And by the way, he's saying this b'shem Rav Moshe. That's what I've heard. They don't quote it. This is Dr. Rasner and Rav Tendler's book, The Practical. I forgot the name. The Practical Medical Halacha. But I heard from somebody that they asked Rav Moshe, so that this may, at least according to rumor, be having his backing. And he says that's going to be important because he says, Is a physician obligated to seek training, employment, or attending physician status in a hospital where there is minimum or no conflict between hospital policy and Sabbath observance? Should a hospital officer seek training at an inferior quality hospital, etc., etc.? What's the question? We all probably know it. Anyone who's coming to the shiur and is in Einstein, I'm sure has thought about this. You know, this ultimate shaila, do I go? Listen, I can go to Massachusetts General Hospital, you know, or like, if you're a pediatrician, I can go to Philly or Boston Children's Hospital. I can go to these great places, or you know, I can go, I won't name names, but some of the shops from. So, what do I do? So, well, the way the question is raised, what's the shiloh? You know, do I have to, let's say, for the convenience, the owning shops, the opportunities to be with my family, do I have to sacrifice that better education and go to these poor training places? So he says, no. And this is the real quote. He says, a physician must seek association with the most reputable and prestigious hospital possible to ensure excellent training and continuing education. So everybody quotes that, and then they go off and they say, you see, you can be Machal Shabbos, you know, to go to a better place, which is, of course, not at all what he means. Where do we see it explicitly? In the next paragraph, he says, I double underlined it, provided that he's certain of his fortitude in maintaining all halachic requirements despite less favorable environment. So, bottom line, right, and this can't be emphasized enough, there isn't anybody, with David Cohen, doesn't matter, you know, he's another one who's rumored to always be making on the Shiloh, Rav Tendler, Dr. Rasner, none of them say you could be Mechal Shabbos just to go to a better place. Absolutely not. If you can maintain Shabbos, which that's our challenge, right, then you don't have to just automatically go to a Shabbos place for other reasons. Now that's not such a pashut thing. That's a chiddush also. But it's important, if this really is Rav Moshe, and I've always tried to confirm it, but I'm afraid a little to ask Rav Tendler, maybe I will one day get the courage. I'm joking about that. But this psak is very, very important. It's going to be very, very important because the other side says no, even under these conditions. The other tzad that we're going to discuss today says, and it is Rav Shachter to some degree, we'll see how much, will, and it may be case by case, but will imply that even if you can get away without being Mechal Shabbos, meaning Shelo Kiddim, meaning that all you'll have to do is Pikuch Nefesh situations, so you'll be able to do the Raisas, and Kol Hashem B'Sakanas, you'll do the Rabbanans, and etc., all the rules, right? Even so, there's other compelling reason to only do Shabbos. Now, the problem with that is that there's just not enough spots, right? It's not so pashut. And the other problem is fellowships don't exist that are Shomer Shabbos. There's no such thing as a Shomer Shabbos fellowship. So sooner or later, you're going to confront this issue. And if you're going to paskin like that other tzad, and if it's really going to be as pashut as we'll see how it's presented, then it's going to be a problem for a lot of people. So that's really what we're going to discuss today. That, number one, given, you cannot be Mechal Shabbos for this purpose. You cannot, if it's a question of being Mechal Shabbos, for example, what are the classic things that in residencies you need to be Mechal Shabbos for? Death certificates. There is no heter for death certificate. I tried so hard to try to come up with one, right? How could a death certificate ever be, you know, like, pikuach nefesh, right? So, I can think of some good jokes, but in terms of reality, it's just not possible, right? You know, Tchias HaMesim is something that, according to Rav Moshe, you can't be Mechal Shabbos for. But, you know, so it just doesn't happen. So one of the things they make you do in a residency, and, you know, everyone's going to go through this, is you're the one, you know, there's a lot of pressure to get that death certificate signed. They want to get the body going. And it comes the responsibility of the resident. Now, there are ways, and maybe we could talk about it at the end, there are ways, if someone is in this situation, I wouldn't talk about it other than one-on-one, but there are ways of avoiding this if you had to. There are strategies. Discharge notes and discharge orders are the other two that are really hard to get out of. Very, very hard to get out of. But there's also strategies for those. Lo aleinu that anyone should have to deal with this. I see where I'm heading in terms of psalm. But if you do, so there's what to talk about just for anyone out there who wants to talk about it. But that we won't be doing inside. But there are strategies. So what's the deal? What's the argument here that even if I can get out of, and now those three issues, by the way, discharge summaries, discharge orders, and death certificates, are usually only a problem during residency. Those are not a problem during fellowship. So the good news is, Phineas Daiti, is if you can get to a Shabbos program or arrange for yourself Shabbos through residency, fellowship, it gets easier. The only issue you have to contend with is the thing we're going to discuss right now. It's the difference between Rav Tendler's approach here and what I'm going to call Rav Shechter's approach, but that's an oversimplification. It's Rav Shechter and a Mahalach. And between those two, the Nafkamina is the Phineas Daiti fellowship. And I experienced this myself. I mentioned this last week a little bit. I'll extend the story a little. When I was going for fellowship, and I needed now to really have a bigger decision. My first decision I went to Rav Shechter about was residency. I wanted to hear it. I have to do Shabbos residency. It's pretty clear to me I did. But yeah, I wanted a psak anyway. So I got the psak. And that's when he told me, you know, and I said to him, according to one of his arguments, and his argument's going to be, and we're going to see it developed right now, you're not allowed to put yourself in a position where you're using pikuach nefesh to be doch yisur. You're not allowed. So I said, you can't be a doctor. What do you mean? I can't be a resident. I can't be a fellow. I can't be a doctor. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. But Moshe wrote in his tshuva, ultimately it happens. So that's when, jokingly, Rav Shechter said, Ein Achinami. The reason I know he was joking is right, this is a true story, right when he said to me, I said to him, according to your reasoning, no from Jewish should become a doctor, and he's saying, Ein Achinami, come to the Kollel, right? One of his kids, I don't know which one it was, but he's about 3 or 4 years old at the time, walks into the room where we were sitting, wearing like one of those doctor kits. It was the cutest thing in the world. I feel like he set it up, you know, just to happen at that moment. But the truth of the matter is it's actually a ludicrous thing to say. Rav Shechter wouldn't say that. Rav Shechter would say, no from Jew can become a doctor. You know, the Ramban, you know, no good? What's the point? Even if you hold that there is this Isser of putting yourself in a position to use Pikuach Nefesh to be Doch Yisurim, right, still you can become a doctor. Why? Why is it ludicrous to conclude what I said to Rav Shechter? Anybody? What's missing here? Anyone know the sugya at all? That was my test question. So apparently not. So good. So we're going to learn a new sugya. We'll get to that. What's even more fundamental to this? Right? Look at the Gemara that I have over here on the bottom of the page. This is the starting point of the sugya. The sugya is, Ein mafligin besfina pachos migimel yomim, called him the Shabbos. And we'll get into the mitzvah and the timing. But why is this sugya not nogea to just stam becoming a doctor? Yes! Excellent. That's the issue. This is what everyone misses right from the get-go. The reason it's a ludicrous argument to say, even if you hold the chumra on this sugya, don't become a doctor, is because there's a big difference. This is talking about someone who creates the pikuach nefesh on themselves. So it's not nogea to a typical good Jewish boy who becomes a doctor, right? And then what happens? He's confronted with the pikuach nefesh of other Jews, and he goes and he saves them. Of course you could do that. Of course it's a great mitzvah, right? Right? The Chachz Yaakov said it was definitely a mitzvah. And once you're a doctor, it certainly is a mitzvah to help people b'sakana, whether it's Shabbos or Chol, right? Where the whole Shaila comes in, the whole sugya is one where you created the sakana. So now there's a big chop here. What's the problem? So for me to become a doctor, stam, okay. But what might be a problem? Yes, that's the big hidden sort of minefield of the sugya. This is where Rav Shechter comes in. He says, wait a second. I understand that this sugya does not necessarily have application, although he tries to throw a little application, we'll see in a moment, but doesn't really have major application to the person who's going to only be taking care of B'nai B'ris. But how come you're allowed to be Mahal Shabbos for non-B'nai B'ris?
What was the whole matir? What was the mechanism of Heter? It was Sakanas Nefashos for you and for Klal Yisrael. Who's creating it? You are. So here becomes the problem. Certainly what becomes a big problem, and I remember there was a guy after I gave this shiur, and you'll see at the end, I think it comes out definitely, you know, everybody should ask their own child as their poskim, that I did a fellowship in cardiology, and it involved Chil Shabbos. It was not a Shabbos Shabbos fellowship, so it seemed like there's a heter at the end of the tunnel. So this guy calls me up, one of you guys. It was an Einstein guy, a graduate. He calls me up and he says, I just want to get your heter. So he goes like this. He goes, I want to do a GI fellowship, right? I did Shabbos, and now, you know, I want to do a GI fellowship. I said, oh, okay, yeah, where? So he names a place where I don't think in the last 20 years there's been a single Jewish patient. All non-Jewish. So he was expecting like a rubber stamp, go for it. But I couldn't, because that, I told him, at least, maybe there still will be a head there, right? But I said, this is, you just picked the least poshut fellowship. Because if it's exclusively like this, then you really run into the shiloh. You have to now get a psak from a posek on this issue. Because it's going to come down to how you understand the sugi, because you're in it. If you're, just as an opening, if you're in a hospital, which is the typical New York area hospital, which has both, then it's going to be much easier to navigate. Because once you're in there, beheter taking care of b'nei bris, so then it's mimela, you're taking care of the non-b'nei bris. It's not that you're creating the sakanas nefashos a priori. But if you go to a place that's exclusively, if you put yourself in a position of exclusive non-b'nei bris, then Rav Shechter will argue that you are creating that scenario, pikuach nefesh, that wouldn't have existed without you, and you're going to be subject to the full force of the sugya. All right. How does the sugya go? So it says, Ein mafligin b'sfina. What's that saying? It says that you're not allowed to go on a trip in a boat within 3 days of Shabbos. Why not? So there's five basic shitos of the Rishonim, right? Some of them are relevant, right? The Ramban says because you're going to have them do Amir L'Nachri ultimately for you on Shabbos. And Rabbeinu Chananel says, because it's Chomin, and Tosfos says, because you're going to, it's like a swimming gzeira. The Rif and the Rambam say it's owning Shabbos. If you go within 3 days, you're not going to be, you'll be seasick. So, nafka mina being if you're on a boat that's not seasick, it'll be mutter. But if you're on a big boat that's going to get you seasick, that's the problem. And then, the Baal Maor. This is the Baal Maor, which you can find on the top of page 4. It's worth reading inside. This is the sheet that we're going to be most interested in. This is where all the trouble begins in terms of being able to do this. So the bottom three lines, Li Nira, right, he quotes the Rif Shita, and the Rambam Shita, and then he says, Li Nira Tam Acher, Kigon Bezu, Bein Bezu, Bein Bezu, which means, they had said only in a seasick type vessel. He's going to say, it doesn't matter what kind of vessel you're in, the Gemara, it's across the board, a problem. What's the problem? Ein Tzadin Ayarashon Nochin Bukuluhu. Right, he's going to say the same reason that I'm not allowed to get involved in Ayara Shel Nochrim, because all of this is Makom Sakana. The Kol Shlosha Yamin Kodin the Shabbos Kami Shapsis Mikri. Right, everyone knows that the 3 days before Shabbos are related to Shabbos, the three other days are related to the previous week. Right, so you have to have consciousness of Shabbos within 3 days of Shabbos. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that's a problem. The Nira. And here it is. You're getting yourself in a position where you're going to end up needing to use Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos to be Dochei Surim, and you're not allowed to do that. What are the exceptions, though? So the exceptions would be if you start early enough that we could say you don't have to be mindful of Shabbos prior to Wednesday. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you're okay. You don't have to be mindful of Shabbos. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you certainly do. And this is a major isser, and you're not allowed to do it. And that's the way the Baal Maor understands this din. How do we paskin? We have all these shitos we've shown him. So I gave you on the side there the Bir Lacha, the Mishnah Berurah goes through all the shitos, he mentions them all. And in the course, he tells me, really, and if you look at the Machaber, he goes like the Rambam and the Rif, Kedarko, right? He paskins, it's an issue of Onek. What does that say about these other shitos? Are they not brought Lahalacha anywhere? No, they are. We're worried about all of them. Right, the Machaber learns it's an oneg issue, But in terms of the yisod of the Baal Maor, it makes it very strongly into the Shulchan Aruch on the bottom of that page. In Halacha Dalid, Hayotzim b'shayara b'midbar, v'akol yodim shem tzrichim l'chal l'shabes, ki mipnei ha-sakana lo yochlu la'akid b'midbar b'shabes l'vadam, shlosh yamin kodim shabes asurim latzeis, u'biyom risham u'b'sheni u'b'shlishi mutar latzeis. V'im achar kach yira lo sakana b'yitzarach l'chal l'shabes mipnei pikuach nevesh, mutar v'ein kan chilu. So number one, we pask in this way. How do I know this is the Baal Maor? There's no, none of those other issues are relevant now. We're talking about going out into the desert. We don't have the Yom Shabbos issue. We don't have all the other things that were mentioned. Tchomin, Rabbeinu Chananel. We don't have all that other stuff, the swimming. None of that's relevant. The only reason this valid is Aser is because of the Baal Maor. So we see the Baal Maor is brought la'halacha, and that's theoretically a problem. You know, this is really the starting point of the whole argument. You're not allowed to put yourself in a position to even use heterim to be docha Shabbos. But what's the obvious response to this? Why should you be thinking, what's wrong with me? Don't I realize there's obvious no application to our situation? Somebody? Two reasons. What are two reasons, potentially, that this is not a problem in terms of picking a non-Shomer Shabbos? Oh, one thing I learned on the blog is not to use that expression. I agree with that person. There was a person very sensitive, and I thought that they made a good point, and I always use the expression non-Shomer Shabbos residencies. He thought the connotation was not nice, right? He's right. It sounds like, oh, those of us that are not Shomer Shabbos, we do these residencies. So he preferred that we express it like this, which I agree with. He said, I forget how he put it, but you get the idea, right? I don't want to think about it, I don't have time. But correct me if I keep doing that, right? You know, the Shabbos friendly versus the other one, right? So why should this not be Nogaya? What's the quick reason?
You're going from the beginning of the week.
Number one, how is this akin, excellent, to the 3 days prior to Shabbos? When do we accept the Shomer Shabbos residency? This is not so pashut how to work this out. What determines this beginning where it's Nogaya and versus not Nogaya? What should determine it? When you sign your contract? When you go into the match? I don't know. It's interesting. There's a lot of debate about this. This is one of the areas where you need a psak, because I would have said that I'm chayev to be mindful of Pikuach Nevesh, you know, within 3 days of Shabbos. But at the point I go into, I thought it was number pashut that this has no application to picking your residency, because it's way in advance. It's way in advance. You don't even know what Shabbos you're going to be confronted with problems. And it's usually a year in advance. Or let's say you don't want to say when you sign the match or whatever the process, you sign your contract. How about when the chief resident makes the schedule? At least then it should count as the beginning. Either way, it seems to be that we should be able to make use of that heter. Right? Everyone agree with me? So a lot of people don't agree with me. There's this one person, I don't want to mention his name because he hasn't published yet. There's a person, he's a very big Talmud Chacham. And I think he's now already finished his residency. He's out there. And he writes a lot on different medical halacha. I like reading what he writes because he's really holding in a lot of things. But he's a big machmir. And so he writes, pshita, that the only time it counts in terms of residencies, the day you take your call. I don't know if that's really true. So I think he's being much too machmir, finished idea. I don't understand why that's more analogous to what we're talking about over here. So one, Levine Nias Daiti, and not like him, I think it shouldn't be Nogaya for that reason. What's the second reason? What's the other matir for this? Bar mitzvah, right? That was the halacha. The ha'ola la'eretz Yisrael, im nizdam lo shaira afilu be'erev Shabbos, kevin didvar mitzvah hu yachal lifrash. If it's for a mitzvah, that's another exception to this whole halacha, right? So should be davar pashut. This has no, you know, is, by the way, is being a doctor a mitzvah? Don't get confused from the other tshuva and the other subject. To study medicine is not necessarily, it's certainly not a chiyuv, and it's not necessarily a mitzvah. Right? Some poskim, yes, and many poskim, no. But to be a doctor, once you graduate medical school and you're doing residency, is it a mitzvah?
Yeah.
Louder. Of course it's a mitzvah. You should be very, very aware and proud of the fact that once you are a doctor, you get your MD, and you're graduating, and you're about to be an intern, you are doing a tremendous mitzvah. And I'll tell you something else, as an attending, I could say this. attendings are doing less of a mitzvah. The ones that are really doing all the work are the house staff. I'll be the first to admit it. The residents and the fellows are doing all the real saving of lives, in my humble opinion. You know, give an opinion here or there. The work on the ground, big, tremendous mitzvah.
Which mitzvah?
Lo tamal adabayecha, v'hashivos elo, right? Mitzvah's daraisa. And if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, and you're there, it says, the Mechaber, after he says, V'rapa, y'rapa, m'kanshe, nit l'rishus, l'rofe, l'rafos, he quotes the Ramban in the Torah Adam, who says, U mitzvahi, it's a mitzvah gedola. Absolutely. No shot. So, bearing that in mind, shouldn't that also obviate this whole issue? Well, so, yeah.
The mitzvah, that's
interesting. We're going to have to contend with that. But I'll tell you the truth. This same guy, he's my foil for today. So definitely don't want to mention his name, but and again, big Talmud Chacham, he says this, and he quotes a few people, he says, not a mitzvah. Now, I would argue with it, first of all. It's not so pashut. Not so pashut that it's not a mitzvah. Even only non-bnei bris. I don't think it's a pashut thing that it's not a mitzvah to take care of them. I can, you know, look at the Ramban and say, from mitzvahs, the Hosafos, mitzvah tes zayin. So over there, he's talking about Ger Tosha. Now, Bizmaneinu, there's no such thing as a Ger Tosha, officially, right? The official label of Ger Tosha. But there are many people that have the status of a Ger Tosha, right? And depending on your definition, the Erie definition, etc., etc., he says there's definitely a mitzvah of tzedakah, hatzalah, refuah, puts it on the list, right? They even try to say that he's saying you could be Machal Shabbos, but that's not true. If you read the mitzvah tesayin, just take a look at it yourself. And more than that, mishum darkei shalom, there's many, many reasons to say that it's not true, even though he does say that. But even if you're going to say that, and you follow his shitos, it's only an issue if that's all you're doing. Right? So it's only an issue if you're exclusively like that gastro fellowship that this guy was picking, which, by the way, he ended up not doing, thank God, because it just made life simpler for him. But most of us are going to be, if we're in the New York area, now it gets trickier outside of the New York area. You know, I grew up in Brooklyn, spent my whole life in the New York area, except for as much of it as I can in Eretz Yisrael. But, so I'm not used to it. But out there, if you go, and many people do venture out of the New York area, it does get a little tricky that you can end up in a hospital that don't have too many. But if you have both, it's certainly not a factor. So what does become a factor is the following, and I'm sorry that it's taking me so long to get through this, but I want to leave with this. We'll finish up the halacha lemaisa conclusion, but this would be a good thing to hang with you. If we would have stopped right here with this sugya, understood this way, it would be a davar pashut. We have a mitzvah. We also are way in advance of Shabbos. We should have no, Rav Shechter would have no leg to stand on. He wouldn't be able to say this to me, right? But he does. And you know, Rav Shechter wasn't born yesterday, and he knows what he's talking about. What's he talking about? Where's the chumra come from? So it's the following. Very interesting. Here where we do a little lumbus. There's another sugya. It's the famous Ishtapech Chamima. Anyone familiar with this sugya? If you learned Erevin, if you learned Shabbos, you run into this. What happens? Let's say it outside. It's on the next page, the whole thing. Very, very, very famous machlokes. Right? You have a bris. What was the Gemara's understanding? What was necessary in Mishum Sakana for a baby that had a bris milah? What? Hot water before and after. Right? You had to either soften up the eva. There's many theories as to what exactly this was accomplishing, right? This is one of the few things, by the way, where everybody accepts Nishtana Hateva, we don't need to do this anymore, and you cannot be Machal Shabbos. Nishtana Hateva, Nishtana Din. It's a whole other topic. But here's one where everyone says Nishtana Hateva, Nishtana Din, you don't need to follow this anymore. But they used to think you did. You had to use hot water before, and you had to use hot water after. So the Shiloh was, what happens if the case is like this? You got the water ready before Shabbos. You heated up the water for the bris, both the before water and the after water. Right? You haven't, if you did the bris already and the water spills, pshita, heat it up. It's sakanas nefashos. You can certainly do it. Because the water was considered necessarily hot water in order to save the life of this baby who just had the bris. What happens if it spills before the bris? What do you do now? Do you say, what are the options? Do the bris. Now I got pikuach nefesh. Heat up the water. Or do I say, hey, I'm going to have to heat up water. I better not do this bris. Right? So this is a very, very famous machlokes. It's worth knowing about. Machlokes Ramban and Baal HaMaor. What does Ramban say? Ramban says, Ein le mitzvah eila shasa. That when you do a mitzvah, you're involved in a mitzvah, just do the mitzvah, and whatever happens, happens. Don't worry about it. You only have to be focused on the mitzvah itself, not on the ramifications that might arise. He said, absolutely, do the bris, then heat up the water, mishum pikuach nefesh, you'll have no problems. Comes along the Baal HaMaor. Then what would you think he would say? What's the Baal HaMaor? He's our guy, right? What did the Baal HaMaor say before? He says, no, you can't just get involved in things, right? And not be aware of the fact that you're going to be using the pikuach nefesh. You're creating the pikuach nefesh. Here's a little katan, a cute little katan, doing nothing, not besakana. You created that sakana by doing the bris milah. Now you're going to use pikuach nefesh to be dochli surim. So the Baal HaMaor says, nitche hamila, don't do the milah. Make sense? What's the problem? It's a mitzvah. It's a dar mitzvah. The Baal HaMaor admits what the Gemara says and what the halacha is. The halacha is, exception is the bar mitzvah. So here's the shayla. And this is going to be, the whole sugya opens up here. What's the difference between these two cases? And which one's analogous to what we need? That should make a difference? In other words, you can do the milah the next day. Milah the next day is nowhere qualitatively the same as milah is not. So I don't think that would be considered a mitzvah event. What's the difference? The mitzvah and the chilah taking place at the same time? No, they're not. Right? The mitzvah milah, but neither one. No, I'm talking about, let's say, us by the going out into the desert. You're not in Israel yet. Let me spell out the question, and then there are three approaches to answering this. With major nafkaminas, halach lemaisa, it's going to really be the ultimate understanding of why Rav Shechter says what he says, and others will say differently. When it comes to the following example, the example of mafligin besfina or going out into the desert, if I'm doing that for the purpose of a mitzvah, and mitzvah, by the way, by svina is defined by the Ramah very liberally. He says going to business, it's a mitzvah, it's a dvar mitzvah. So if I'm going out into my svina for business purposes or for any other mitzvah, if I'm going in the midbar for Yeshuv Eretz Yisrael, I don't have to worry about this din. Period. However, for milah, I can't do the milah on Shabbos, I have to worry about this din. What's the difference? So, anyone catch any real differences?
Starting before Shabbos.
Excellent. There's number one. One is that I'm getting involved in the situation before Shabbos, right? And the other one, on Shabbos itself. The milah is taking place on Shabbos itself. If I do that milah, I'm creating the sakana on Shabbos. So why should that make a difference? So think about it. Let's just do the other two, and then we'll pick up from here next week. Something to think about over the week, right? How these nafkaminas are going to play out, halach lemaisa, legabei our issue, right? So everyone understand that difference? One before, one on. Very important difference, that's the stipler. The stipler points out that that's the major difference. And the Rav, or Soloveitchik, also pointed this out and gave a nice, interesting explanation as why that should make a difference. So that's one. What's another one? Quick. Excellent. That's the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham says, oh, when it comes to the Mila case, it's Vadai Sakanas Nefashas. By definition, a baby that had a Bris Mila is going to have Sakana. But in the other case, the Sina, not necessarily, and even in the Midbar, not necessarily. That is going to be very, very important. Because if it comes down to that, we are in big trouble, right? And think about that a little. But if we go with the Magen Avraham, which Rav Shechter does, and the Mishnah Berurah does, that might create a very chumra approach to our situation. Especially if we consider our situation a vadai, right? And what's the other difference? The other difference is the hardest one to get, but if you look at the Baal HaMaor inside, which unfortunately, for some reason, I left out of this handout, but if anyone is interested in looking at this Baal HaMaor, I recommend you do it to get to the real pshat. Best way to get pshat is really to look at the source. So the Baal HaMaor, it's the Baal HaMaor it's in Shabbos. It's the Baal HaMaor in the Sugya in Shabbos. I think it's like Nun Gimel Amid Aleph, something like that in the Daf Erev, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's the Daf. There the Baal HaMaor says the following. He says, the key is that when it comes to Nila, the problem is Machshire Nila. The heating of the water is only Machshire Nila. What does that mean? It's not the mitzvah of Nila, which is always Docha Shabbos. Right? So the mitzvah of Nila is Docha Shabbos, and even getting yourself into the Isra of getting yourself into a situation of needing Pikuach Nefesh should also be Nidche for the mitzvah of Nila. But the problem over here, the Balmor seems to say, is no, it's only Machshire Mila that we're doing. We want to be Docha Isurim for Machshire Mila. Right, but it's what's my ultimate objective? Shuvaret Yisrael. That's considered a mitzvah. That's not a Machshire mitzvah. In other words, I'm going into the Sakana for the purpose of the mitzvah of Shuvaret Yisrael. I'm creating this sakana, and what I'm going to be ndoche here, what I'm going to be doing, is really just machshire mila. So, think about that a little, and what the nafkamina will be for that one. This was Rav Soloveitchik's approach. Right? He explained the stipler, but his own explanation was this last yisod. Kedarko, he looks at the Rishon very carefully, exactly his wording. So I recommend everybody who's interested, take a look at it. So we'll pick up with this next week. We'll start with these the problem, these three resolutions, nafkamina lalacha, and then I'll show you how the poskim come out, and then we'll also get into the Ezras Hashem, the issue of switching call with a non-from Jew. It's a very fascinating area of Lifnei Iver. Should have a lot of interesting Torah that relates. Have a great day.